Let me ask you a question. Do you love me? Thank you for that. I remember the first time, I always ask that question before I start speaking. I can gauge the crowd. Do you love me? The first time I ever preached, I asked that question, and it was quiet. I was like 22 years old. First time, get up. Do you love me? The pastor said right there, he said, we'll see. So, thank you for that. Yeah, so today has been a interesting day, you know, and here we are gathered in the house of God, and there's many things on our minds. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and get settled. Oh, Lord God in heaven, I come to you asking for help. I can't help anybody. Lord God, I need you to help people through me. I can at best reach the soul, Lord, and that's not deep enough. And Lord God, I would just ask you, I'm just putting myself aside and surrendering to your will. And Lord God, preach through me to the people that need it, that it make a difference in someone's life tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll turn over to Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32. And I'm all types of fired up. We see what's going on in our country today. We see what's happening. I was glued to the news this morning watching those rockets, or the president talking about the rockets being fired off. And, you know, I got up this morning for sure that we were going to retaliate, and I was surprised at the response. That it didn't seem to be, talk of hard retaliation, but it was, we'll see what happens in the future kind of feeling. There's no decisive, well, at least what I heard this morning on the news, wasn't decided what they would do. Iran said, they de-escalated the situation. And anyway, so the current events are, unstable and troubling. And the Christians are feeling, this thing's about to end. This is winding down. We're about to go home. Amen. And we know that. They don't know that. They think we're nuts. But we know this thing's winding down. Prophecies being fulfilled. Things are happening. And I was at the Elizabeth Warren conference earlier this week. And so a lot of this fuel comes from there. So if any of this preaching or teaching, whatever it comes out of this thing tonight, hits your button, it's all fueled by her. So, so good luck with that. Anyway, so we get our Trump. My wife looks at me and says, are we going to stand by and let this person come into our town and spread her poison through this place? Or are we going to do something about it? And I'm looking at her like, really? You want me to get involved in this? But we fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. Am I correct? And a well-balanced Christian does all those things. If he's balanced 33 1/3% of the time, he fights the devil, he fights the flesh, and he fights the world. And the world it's talking about is that world system, the system that is anti-God. And we, as Christians, are supposed to show up and fight that whenever it inconveniently shows up at our doorstep. And so she was here and she reminded me of this teaching. And I said, yes, ma'am, we should do that. And I submitted to her. We got our signs. I got a 2020 Trump 2020 sign, put the MAGA hat on. She got a Guns Don't Kill People, Elizabeth Warren's tax-funded abortions will sign, went out in force with that. We got our signs confiscated immediately. But we went into that place with my MAGA hat under my arm, because I was trying to get in, first of all. And I ain't dumb. I'm a recon scout. I gotta, this is for later, right? And, but man, I had it hidden so well. And maybe there was a little peak of red coming out, I had my sign. And we came in with our signs folded because we were going to get in and open them. Yeah, we were ready. We were coming in stealthy, And they saw that red. I mean, it had to be no bigger than this lapel, Mike, that red sticking out. And you began to hear the hisses. It was like a mega hat, red hat. You know, and it was like, ooh. So we had this fellow that was a sodomite come down and told us we're not allowed signs in Elizabeth Warren's town hall, and took our signs, confiscated those. And we got into the town hall. And we showed, she couldn't take my red hat, and nobody seemed to want to take it off my head. So we got in with that. And a man got up, and he said, I'm a Christian. He got up to ask a question. I'm a Christian. And he said, how do I tell my daughter, if you get elected, your views on abortion and your views on gay marriage? How do I reconcile that with my faith? And she tried to eloquently answer that question and failed. Basically, she said she was a Bible believer, a Sunday school teacher in a Methodist church, read the King James Bible, and then deflected away from, we're not going to agree. And so the media got a hold of me when I left and asked me why I was dealing with had the hat on. And I told them it was to be divisive. It was to stand against Elizabeth Warren. And and I got some backlash for that. And I spent some of today dealing with some RU students along this same line. And he was asking the question, can I smoke pot and be a Christian? And I had the lady at the interview ask me, can you be a liberal and be a Christian? And I'm seeing all these, this common theme. I want my sin. Can I do that and be a Christian? That's the question. In Luke 22, 31 through 32, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. You see that? That thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. See, some things have been decided since before the beginning of time. And those things that have been decided, one of those things is Jesus. It has been decided before the foundations of the world that he would come and die for our sins. That has been decided. 1 Peter 1:20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world that was manifest in these times for you? That's Jesus. In regards to dying for your sins and coming to the cross and so on and so forth. We have Revelation 13:8, Revelation 17:8, and there's quite a few more verses. I don't have to go through those. About the foreknowledge of God, the foreordained foreknowledge of God, that he has set certain things in order. And see, like this reporter and like many Christians, I said to her that it has been decided before the foundation of the earth what is dividing our country now. You think there's a choice for abortion. You think there's a choice for the Second Amendment. You think there's a choice for all of these different problems that are dividing our nation. And the further we get away from God as a nation, the more divided we're going to get on these issues. And they have already been decided. But you redefine the definition of what sin is. You redefine the definition of what marriage is. You redefine the definition of life. And say, I have a choice to make here. And then you'd further divide that. It is not God that's dividing the nation. It's sin that's dividing the nation. And your redefinition of what truth and what is good and all of those things. And see, that's kind of the thought that I had these last few days. And then I began to go on my house and route my house with rants and raves about these. It has been decided all through my house. My wife says the best preacher she gets is in her house. I just wish I would translate to this place. Oh, as far as me is concerned right now. but it's true, you know, we're fickle with our definitions of what sin is. You know, as far as our country is concerned, it has been decided that homosexuality is sin. Leviticus 20:13, Romans 1:26-28, Hebrews 13:1-5, and so on. I've got many there. I don't have to tell you that homosexuality is wrong. It's been decided. In the Garden of Eden, for whatever reason, God decided to put the knowledge of good and evil right there. And it was decided by God that you should not eat from that. That was decided. And then man came along and decided to disobey. And here we are today. And many other things have been decided in God's Word for us that there is no debate over. Just like that garden tree. And so we push forward as Christians, further dividing our nation because of this sin. Abortion is wrong. God has decided that. Job 10:8. Psalms 22:9-10. I think you'll find a common theme. See, Jesus said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Where do you think that faith is? It's in His Word. And what, in the revelation of who God is. This has been decided before the foundation of the world ever began. This has been decided. Do you think Genesis 3 took God by surprise? Do you think the last jot and tittle wasn't in God before He spoke the world into existence? None of this is surprising. It's been decided before He ever created man what good and what bad was. That's a fact, Jack. You can't get away from that. And so mankind, cyclical mankind through the ages, up and down, decides and redefines what bad and good is. And so we can sit there and say, amen, abortion is sin. Because God has decided so. And we stand on that faith. Those Bible verses are our faith on the matter. And so what happens is Satan hates that. And he wants to sift you away from that faith. So he begins to plant arguments in your mind to that end. That's the point. Now, we say amen to those things, and those are probably easy amens to get in our fundamental Baptist churches. But Satan has a desire to sift deeper than just our country. We see it in our country. It's easy to see. Any lost person can see that. But it's in our churches, corporately. Satan wants to sift here in this place called Old Paths Baptist Church. How does he do that? He sifts you away from your faith, what you believe. He puts arguments within your mind to try to separate you from good, solid, doctrinal faith. He ain't been converted yet and settled in that. It has been decided as a church. Christ is the head of the church and supreme authority. It has been decided before we ever had John the Baptist say, behold, the Lamb of God. It has been decided that He was going to be the supreme authority according to Ephesians 1:22, 4:15, Colossians 1:18. That's our faith as Baptist people, that Christ is the supreme head of and authority of our church. It has been decided that we are to be independent from boards and denominations, autonomy of the local church. In Titus 2:5, Matthew 18:15-17, 1 Corinthians 6:1-6-3. That has been decided. That's the truth. And I can go on and on about this. I can go into the offices of the church, being pastor and deacon. I can go into that. I can go into the ordinance, the Lord's Supper and baptism. I can go into that. I can go into members of the church with gifts differing. I can go into that. We had a great message on it just the other night. Brother Porter did a fine job here. Did a fine job explaining that. Everybody's needed. That's faith. And there it is. I could tell you the Bible verses. Satan wants to sift that away. Now, I can go into the behavior in the church. This is how the devil works. I can go into how to deal with problems between a brother. Matthew 18:15-17. This is how our corporate church is supposed to run. We got the pastor, we got the deacon, we got the elders, we got different, spiritual gifts. They're all working as one to one goal for the kingdom of God's sake. You know, this is how the church is to run. That's our faith. I can go through all the Baptist distinctives down the line, and we would all say amen to that. But the division in our country, the division in our church. But what about the family unit? The divisiveness. See, Satan has a great desire to sift that. The Christian home, divorce and remarriage, Matthew 5:32. He has a desire to sift you away from that faith. The father, the patriarch, the head of the home, Ephesians 5:23. Satan doesn't want that. He wants to sift that away. Husband works. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. You don't work, you don't eat. That's a husband's job. Satan wants to sift that away with many arguments. There's a lion in the street. I can't go out today. It's cold. You're right. You're right. I like that. No. Satan wants to sift you away from that faith. Wife stays at home with the kids. Titus 2:3-5. These are all easy amens, people. Amen, amen. And then you hear the arguments from the liberal crowd. And now you're hearing the arguments in the church. It's seeping its way in. And we say, well, that preacher just don't know the times. Or this special circumstance. That's situational ethics, friend. That ain't Bible Christianity. That's a philosophy of the world. Some of that's a philosophy of your flesh. Some of that's a philosophy of Satan. But all those are incepted within the heart of the devil. All of them. Now, child rearing and family altar, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child and way you go. We know that. But I'm tired. The kids are acting. You know how hard it is for me to have family altar with JJ? It's like, sometimes I only get a couple verses out, man. But we do it, and we fight, and we fight, because we believe by faith that verse. And Satan wants to sift me away from that belief. I can't let that happen. Now, individually, Christian pothead? Is there such a thing? Is there faith regarding that in the Bible? To say no? Yes. I'm not going to go over those. We know. But people will argue. I had a person this week argue with me that wanted to, is there a way I can smoke pot and be a Christian? He just got saved. I said, no. You will hurt tremendously until you die. If you got Jesus living in your heart. That's what the woman at the camera said. Can you be a Christian and be a liberal? I said, no. Not today. If you got the Spirit of God living in you, you can't be for that. It's impossible. And she's like, well, you don't know their heart. I said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I know that woman's heart. And it's wicked. I hope they get that on camera. They did. I hope they put it out. You know, Christian RX drug addict. Is there such a thing? Christian gambler. Is there such a thing? Christian flirt. Christian fornicator. Christian thief and liar and a storyteller. Is there such a thing? Doesn't it bother them to do that? I know I've told lies. We all have. Have we not? Raise your hand if you haven't told a lie in the last year. You liars. We can't do that. When we do, what happens to our hearts? Right? If that's not happening, something's wrong. Now, Christian fantasizer. I have a lot of that. People have fantasies, visions of grandeur. It's called insanity. Okay? These people are nuts. Are you going to the RU class, you'll find a lot of it. They're like the hero of the day. They're broke, homeless, and can't find a job. You know? But they're the hero of the day. Christian fantasizer. You know? Be careful of that stuff. Be careful when you start being carried away with fantasy in your mind. It has no good end. Not based in reality or truth. Christian porn addict. Christian romance novel or soap opera watcher. There you go, ladies. That's yours. Christian rageaholic. Christian depression. Christian anxiety. Christian control freak. Christian gossiper. Christian. You just, come on. Is there faith in the Bible in regards to any of those subjects? Could you sit down in the Bible and find book, chapter, and verse for all of them? Yes, you could. You could. Any of those addictions. A guy said, did God say I couldn't smoke pot specifically? I said, no, God did not make a horticulture book. He didn't have a Bible in one sense and said, now here's horticulture. Every chemical compound ever made. You can't lick frogs. It's not good for you. You can't mix these cocktails together. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't inject it, snort it, chew it, and all the other ways. It's not kosher. Right? You can't do that. It's called sorcery. Where is that other word, that Greek word for sorcery? Pharmakei. That's pharmacy. That's where we get our word for pharmacy. But they didn't think that putting the English word sorcery over the sign would draw in a big crowd. So they put pharmacy on there. Okay? Now, so these arguments that we come up with that are sifting away our faith, where do they come from? Who puts them in there? That's what I want to talk about. Mostly that's my introduction. The whole service will not be this long. Who put those thoughts in your head? I'm going to talk about one of those avenues tonight. Just one. I want to make us aware of just one of those avenues. The battle in the mind, the demonic component. 2 Corinthians 2:11. This is a verse you know well. Lest Satan should get the advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. That word devices in the Greek is noma. The fair definition is a mental perception or thought, an evil purpose, that which thinks, the mind, thoughts, or purposes. The Strong's definition is a perception that is a purpose or by implication the intellect, device, mind, or thought. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like a thought. Sounds like something in your head, right? Here's the root word of that very word, their definition, to perceive with the mind, to understand, it's neo, to understand or to have understanding, to think upon, heed, ponder, consider, strong definition, to exercise the mind, to comprehend, heed, perceive, think, understand. This is the word, that's the root word, this is the word that's describing device. That's what's happening. And so these arguments that we have to sift us away from our faith, who's putting them there? Who do you think put that there? I want you to think about the question with that thought in mind that God asked Adam and Eve in the garden when he said, I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Who told you that? Think about that for a minute. I made you naked. And it was good. Who gave you the idea that it was bad? What happened there? Something has happened. obviously we know what happened. And then, well, then I figured, being I was over here naked, and it was bad, that I had to cover myself with these fig leaves. God said, that ain't good enough. What gave him that idea? To think up his own remedy, and that would be sufficient. And we could go on and on with that thought. That devices of the mind sift us away from our faith as Christians in our country, in our church, and in our homes, and as an individual with God. These thoughts, these arguments against those faiths, against those Bible doctrinal established before the foundation of the world faiths, it's been decided what you should do. That's the certainty of it. 1 Chronicles 21:1. I want you to think about this for a minute in regards to devices in the mind. Was David a godly man? Yes, he was. He's a hero in the Bible. Do you think Satan speaks to you in a slithering voice? Or does he use your own voice? I want you to think about that for a minute. Now, the Bible isn't very dogmatic on what voice he uses, okay? But I want us to think with our head for a second here. It says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, who put that thought in David's mind to number the people? Satan did. There it is. Satan used thoughts to separate Israel from God's favor, if you will. He broke the law of God. And you see David say this. Now, we have the Bible, so we can kind of look at it in hindsight and inspired word of God. But he was actually living in it at that moment. And he said this, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. Now, we know it was his sin, and we know that he was responsible for that, but he was completely 100% blaming himself. He didn't say the devil made me do it. And I'm not saying that we should say that, but he was convinced that it was him, is the point. I have sinned. I've done this thing. I thought this up. Satan put that in his mind, people. How about Judas Iscariot? He was lost, but the point's still the same. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. That was the device of the devil. Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? These are devices of the devil. And we should not be ignorant of them. So what are you struggling with here tonight that is contrary to the established faith that is in the revealed Word of God? It could be anything. I don't know what that is. Whatever the Lord tells you that is. And Satan's arguments in your mind are trying to separate you from your faith on the subject. We're winding down, people. We can see it. He's got an attack on the church. He's got an attack on righteousness. He's got an attack on the Christians. The devil has made war with the saints, and he uses deception to do that. And the goal is to get our mouths shut, to fight with each other, to fight within our marriage, to fight within ourselves. So we don't go out there and tell someone how to be saved. Let us get grounded in faith, in true Bible faith on any subject. And when you're converted to that, strengthen your brother. When you see sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, struggling with faith, strengthen them. This is what the Bible says. Then they'll go to you, maybe, Mrs. Porter. I want to smoke pot. I said, Brother Chris, this is what the Bible says. I don't like that answer. What about and argue? She don't give me any quarter because she's married to Tom. Okay. And Tom and her probably have these little sword battles, I could just imagine, at their home about, you know, Bible studies and whatnot. So she's sharp on that. So I go to somebody who I think is a little weaker. Oh, yeah, how about you? How about you? I want to smoke pot. Tell me, the Bible say anything against smoking pot, sir? Where does it say it? In the Bible? You know where? Oh, so you're not very strong in that. So what happens on the playground when they come up to you and say, hey, here's some pot. What's the Bible say about it? Where's your conviction and faith on it? In the Bible. You can only ride that so long. You can only ride that so long. The question is, we need to get strengthened. And I picked on you for a reason, because I knew you didn't know it. So don't be like, man, everybody knows I don't know that you're not supposed to smoke pot. And I just know. No, man, I picked you on a purpose. I could have picked any kid in here, okay? So I wasn't picking on you. So let's get to that place. Let's get to that place where we know what we believe. Let's get to that place where when the preacher preaches a message and he's got Bible, that settles it. That settles it corporately. Corporately as a church. That settles it. If the preacher says, this is the Bible definition of, and this is what we believe, and this is the direction we're going because, and he finds that all in here, and he preaches that, that's his desire. That's corporate church stuff. Let's not let the devil sift that away through arguments and through debate and those things that are planted in your mind that seem so smart. Well, what about? And you've been there. We've all seen it. Let's get firm in our homes and our family units and our faith in regards to whatever subject it is. And don't let the devil's arguments sift us away from it. And let's get firm in our Bible convictions individually on where we struggle personally. And if we know we struggle with pornography, with addictions, with tithing, with anything, let us go to a brother in the church that you know has victory and say, how'd you get the victory? Can you tell me the Bible verses I need to meditate on? And these Bible verses you get those Bible verses. Let me tell you how you do it. You get those Bible verses, you sit down with them and you put them out. And you begin to break down that Bible verse by definition, by word definition, all the way through. And you get a real good understanding of God's mind on it. And you say, that is what I'm going to believe. I'm going to agree with God on this. I am going to confess that this is the right way forward. And you get down about 15 or 20 of those Bible verses in your craw, and you go forward with those. And you don't let anybody argue and sift those away from you. Spirit being or individual being used by a spirit being. And that's all I have for tonight, preacher.